I know that the hearts of the family and friend are grieved. And I do trust that the Lord will help me to be able to say a few words to comfort, something that will do you some good. And as I attempt to do this, I do know that according to the course of life, it won't be long before I'll be out there in your place. And I know that at that time, the desire of my heart will be that there will be some comfort for me. I would not desire for someone to try to comfort me and recall the things that I have done that should not have been done. I don't want that. So I'll not approach you in that manner. It was about 10 days ago, 10 or 12, something like that, that a verse of Scripture came to my mind. That's found in the 5th chapter of the 2nd Corinthian letter, the 1st verse. For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And as I meditated on that, I saw a lot of good in it. I saw the glory of God in that. And something told me, say, now, this would be suitable to use at a funeral. And I considered that for a little while, so well, now, I can't do that because I don't have a funeral. I can't use that. But we're here. And we know that it is the way of all flesh, that is, we cannot continue indefinitely here in this life. It just is not possible. Now, this old earthly house that you have seen here, it stayed as long as it could. There were some imperfections in that house, but this house that the Scripture tells us about, the one that God will build, there won't be anything wrong with that house. Not anything. I want to read to you now from the 8th chapter of the Roman letter, the 18th verse. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I would like to give special attention to the latter part of that, that shall be revealed in us. Now, Sister Sophie, as I knew her, now being she would be mother and grandmother and aunt and so forth, she in the 60 years that she was a widow and almost 97 years that she lived in this life, it was plain for us to see that from time to time that there were some afflictions that were her. That is, in her flesh, there were some afflictions. And they increased a little more, and a little more, and a little more, and after a while, it was too much. The old house fell down, it couldn't stand. That is our evidence that this scripture is true. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, it does say that that glory will be revealed to her. That glory will be revealed in her. It'll be in her. And when we take her place, then that glory will be revealed in us. Sin is made manifest, the penalty for sin is made manifest, and there is another thing that will in due time be made manifest, and that is the glory of God. This old earthly tabernacle has been laid down, but there's a time coming when this same body that will be shortly committed to the dust of the earth, it'll be raised, And by the will of God, there won't be any more affliction in him. Not in him. I was reading a little bit in the book of Revelation concerning the city. It says that that city is, well, the width and the breadth and the height of that city are equal. Now, the reason I'm telling you about that city, brethren, is like this. That's where her spirit is now. And on the resurrection day, that is where that body will go to. But I'm talking now about something that she's already enjoying, something that's hers. Of course, they are expressed in the terms that men understand, and if they were not, we could not know about it. The Bible says that that city is 12,000 furlongs. 12,000 furlongs, as nearly as I can understand, it is 1,320 miles. Now that is the size of that city. It's that long and it's that wide. Now I don't know whether I can see straight up that far or not. I don't know. We can see approximately 20 miles if the conditions are level. But now this city, it is 1,320 miles. And around that city, there is a jasper wall all the way around that city. Of course, I know that God, being the creator of all things, he doesn't need any jasper. And it says that the streets are paved with gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, God doesn't need any gold. As I reflect on that, this is what I see. In the ways that the children of God here in this world understand, this city, that is, the gold in this city, it is the desire, that is, why we live here in this world. Why we live here. We suppose that if we just had all that our heart could wish for, we suppose that we'd be happy. But see, we don't have very much now. We have enough. Sometimes we think it's not enough, but it is. It's enough. But where Sister Sophie is now, she is up there in that city, and the Bible says that it is a heavenly city. It is the New Jerusalem. Now, I don't know the number of the different types of stones, but I just mentioned one, and that is the wall that is around that city. It's a jasper wall. And there's one more thing. There are 12 gates to that city. The 12 gates are of 12 pearls. And then immediately after that, it says that the several gates were of one pearl. The scripture tells us about a pearl of great price. Great price. The 12 gates of that city are of one pearl. And that one pearl that is of great price is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is him. She was in him during her lifetime. And he dwelled in her, and she is now in that city. Her spirit is, of course, her earthly remains are here with us. And in a time that is known to God, she will arise. And when she comes forth, she will have a glorified body. Now, I don't know how to tell you what a glorified body is like. I just don't know. But then I do know this, that we all, as we live here in this low ground of sin and sorrow, we have pain and we have anguish. And sometimes, on rare occasions, we do as Job did. We curse the day that we were born because our affliction is so grievous. But, ma'am, even though her body is here, that spirit has gone back to God that gave it. And I'm not able to tell you. I don't know how to tell you the glory that she is seeing and experiencing now. I don't know how to tell you that. And I feel that knowing the children as I do, and knowing that you all love God, and in the best way that you could, you have served God, you would not desire that your mother, now I know she was a faithful mother to her family. She was a faithful mother in Israel, she was. And God has said to her, son, your heart, it aches, ma'am. There's anguish in it. But think about it like this. Our Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory that was set before him, that is the glory that he received by doing the will of his Father. Now that was his life, was doing the will of his Father. And Sister Sophie, she wanted to do the will of her Heavenly Father. Not too long ago, when she was here, I said something to her about her long and active life. She said, I live on love. Now, she loved her God, and she knew that his hand was upholding her. She knew that. She also knew that one day that he would say, come home. She knew that. And I did not see any sign of remorse, that is, knowing that he would one day call. I didn't see any sign of remorse in her. She was ready to go. So far as my knowledge goes, she was ready to go. And she is now. She is right now in the presence of our God. The glory that is hers, I'm not able to tell you about that. I don't know. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It cannot. We couldn't keep her with us. And this old body couldn't go to heaven, but there is one that will go. It will. And when it makes that journey, that is, when it comes out of the grave, it'll be her body. I don't know whether it'll look exactly the same or not. I don't know. But it'll be her body. And then when Jesus comes, for she'll come when he comes, he'll bring that spirit with him. That spirit will be reunited with that body. And she will be then with her Lord. I wondered what I would say if somebody asked me, well, what is it like? What is that place like up there? Well, I haven't been there and I don't know. But now this I do know. There have been times, now there might not be very many of those times, but there have been just a few. I'd be preaching in this place here or in some other place. Or I might be speaking with someone on scriptures or listening to them. They'd talk for 2 or 3 hours, and it would seem like just 2 or 3 minutes to me. I feel like they quit too soon. I remember one time here, I was doing my best to expound the Word of God, trying to speak to the hearts of his little children. And the only way that I know how to say it is that I was caught away in the spirit. I didn't know what was going on all around. I just had a feeling of well-being. There was no worry. Nothing mattered. Time didn't matter. Nothing mattered. I was just happy. Now, I can't tell you how happy I was. I cannot. But brethren, that's all that there will be when Sister Sophie's body is reunited with her spirit, and when she meets our Lord in the air, and when they arrive at that place where the Son is seated on the right hand of the Father, that's all that there will be there. Joy. Everlasting joy. No end. I don't know how to tell you about something that has no end, but that is the way that it is. And I know you would not want to deprive your mother of that great glory that God had promised to her. I know you would not. Yet I know your hearts are heavy. But consider the great love, the everlasting love, that unchangeable love that our Heavenly Father has bestowed upon this mother, this mother in Israel. And the promise of God is that at a time appointed, that this old body will be raised up and it will be glorified. Now all of the troubles of this world, all the troubles that she had here, now there are many because she lived a long time, a long time. But now if you were to take all of those troubles, that is, if you could take them and put them all together so that they would, you just have one lump, so to speak. Now all of those troubles, no matter how great they are, they're not even worthy to be compared to the glory that this same flesh shall have. You see, there's one glory of the flesh now, but on the resurrection day there'll be another glory of that flesh. I don't know how to tell you how great it'll be. I just don't know.
Thank you.
the bravest battle that was ever fought. Shall I tell you where and when? On the maps of the world, you'll find it not. It was fought by the mothers of men. Deep in a walled-up woman's heart, of a woman who would not yield, but silently, bravely bore her part. Lo, there is that battle. And he speaks of that battlefield, the bravest battle that was ever fought. Now, there's no question in my mind but what that is true. A battle is not measured by the number of people that are involved in it, as to its intensity, or to the determination to win. It can be, and in this case was, the determination of one dear, godly woman's heart. In her youth, Grandma Chapman came to know Jesus Christ. She did not merely come to know the church. She did not merely come to know teachings about him or others who knew him. In her early life, she came to know Jesus Christ. She knew him in his reality. She knew him as friend of a widow. She knew him as the friend of a young woman. And then through the years that followed, she found him as that one, the same yesterday, today, and forever, who does not change, and that he was the friend of the other. She tasted deeply and richly from the cup of his grace. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now that's God's word. A woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. If Grandma Chapman had been depending on just a knowledge of Christ through the years, or a relationship just with Christians, she, like the rest of us, would have failed in that. But the beautiful thing about knowing Jesus Christ is that when Christ indwells us and lives his life through us, it doesn't matter what comes against us. It can be the gravest of disappointment. It can be trial of every sort. And in all of that, the one thing that will rise uppermost and supreme will always be exactly what you saw in her. And I'm not suggesting she had a bad life. She had a blessed life. She was surrounded, constantly surrounded by those who knew her and who loved her and who cared for her and whose heart went out to her. And even in the church in Delray Beach, where people had known Grandma Chapman, new people coming in had known her only for a matter of weeks, she was immediately part of their lives. part of their life, part of their whole experience. And they are weeping today in the knowledge that this one that saved you so briefly is no longer with him. In the book of Acts, we have a beautiful scripture that describes today's theme. It has to do with Stephen, that early deacon who preached the word under the power of God's Spirit. And in this final moment, when his congregation were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. This is before he died. And saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." I see it. I see it. It's real. What's so beautiful with a life that knows Jesus Christ is that we don't wait till we die to see them. If we wait till we die to see it, then we've wasted all of the experience of life. It is with Grandma Chapman's experience to know Christ, to know him in a beautiful, personal, vital way, to know him through the years and over the process of time, for that love and devotion to him to be intensified and grow stronger and stronger and stronger, while the physical body is growing weaker and weaker and weaker. It's the experience of turning down the lamp, this lamp, because dawn has come. The sun is rising. So why need we any further this present kind of earthly light? A child once asked his father on the way home from a funeral service such as this, and it perhaps was a grandparent, and after the long ride home, and they finally were there, and just before bedtime, the little boy asked his daddy, he said, "Daddy, what is it like to die? What is it like to die?" And the father for a moment prayed the Lord to give him wisdom on how to answer the question that could be understood. And he pulled the boy to him and he said, "Do you ever remember being on a long trip and where you'd been playing during the day and you were tired and you were dirty and you fell asleep on the back seat of the car?" And the son said, "Yes, sir, I can remember that." And the father said, "Son, do you ever remember falling asleep dirty and tired in the back seat of the car and waking up, finding yourself straight in the bed, clean, with your pajamas on, comfortable?" And he said, "Yes, sir." And the father said, "Well, son, if you went to sleep in the back of the car, tired and dirty and in your street clothes, and you woke up in the bed, straight and clean and fresh with your pajamas, how did that happen?" And he said, "Well, I guess it was because that while I slept, my daddy changed me." And that's it. That's it. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed. Let's pray. Father, we give you the praise in this moment of worship and the gladness that just fills our heart that you've let us have someone to love and to cherish, and you've let her experience a long time on this earth, nearly 100 years, and then, Lord, in your own gentle way, you've spoken to her, and at the same time, you've done with her as you did with Stephen, just to part the veil between this life and that, and let her see the one whom her soul loves standing at your right hand, ready to greet her. Father, help us to receive these words as though from her. "Do not stand at my grave and weep. I am not there. I do not sleep. I am 1,000 winds that blow. I am the diamond glints on the snow. I am the sunlight on ripened grain. I am the gentle autumn rain. When you awake in the morning's hush, I am the swift upflinging rush of quiet birds in circling flight. I am the soft star shine at night. Do not stand at my grave and cry. I am not there. I did not die. Because, Lord God, we remember the words of the Lord Jesus, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Lord, we're going to the grave of one of your believers, and we're glad to know that she did not see death. She rather saw life and glory, eternity with you. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.
Oh, in my hand here, the last letter that I received from Aunt Sophie. We exchanged Christmas cards and always asked what she would write. Wife and I, we always marvel at the legible hand, which was good to the last. Of course, I've seen him talk with her since then. And to know that she enjoyed life, she enjoyed her loved ones and friends, but most of all, she loved her God in Christ, and she loved the Word of God. She had a great philosophy, which every child of God that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has if it exercises it. Two, three scriptures I'd like to read. Brother Lyons talked about this beautiful heaven. The Apostle John was given a revelation of all this by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Of course, Sister Aunt Sophie has rested from her labors for a number of years, but her works will follow her own. We thank God for them. The Apostle Paul wrote concerning scenes like this when we have lost loved ones, that should be a comfort to us. He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concern them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if ye believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. This is another expression of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to Corinthians. This is something that has already come to fruition with Aunt Sophie. And it's the victory. The victory. We've had a victory, but this is the last one. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of these scriptures for our comfort.
May we pray. Our Father, in these moments of grief and heartbreak, our faith looks up to Thee. We pray, our Father, that You would be to us, even as You have been to Aunt Sophie for these many years, that sweet Lamb of Calvary and our Savior divine. We thank You this afternoon for the life of this one that we love. We thank You, Father, for shedding on her so many expressions of Your love and Your grace. And we're grateful, Father, that through her these expressions have been shared and passed on. We pray, our Father, that now in these moments and in the days to come that You would honor Your word and the promise of it that says You would not leave us without comfort and that You would never forsake us. But we pray, Father, that the sweet, comforting presence of Your Holy Spirit might sustain and might heal the broken heart. And we pray, our Father, that we might feel Your arms of love wrapped tightly around us and we might be drawn to You. Your word teaches, our Father, that we're to cry out our grief and we're to place it into Your hands. And we pray even now, Father, that You would be to us that rock that is higher than I, that You would be our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. And we pray, Father, that even in this experience that we might have a renewed testimony of Your love, of Your grace, and of Your favor, and that that renewed testimony, Father, might be used to bring honor and glory to You. Again, Father, we pray that You would accept our gratitude for the life of our loved one. And we pray that those teachings and those works that she has instilled might live on through us as we teach our children and our children's children the things of God. We pray now, Father, Thy blessings upon this family and this assembly of friends as we go our separate ways. May we go with the assurance that all is well because You rule and You reign. Watch over us, our Father, and overshadow us with Your love and keep us ever safely there, for we pray in Thy name. Amen.